Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hey, Ken, would you put the words up to that last song for me? Next one. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. And one, and the next one too. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, and that I need is to be with you and in the quiet hear your voice. Leave that up there for me if you would. There is a... I'm going to pick up from where I left off the last time I was here. We were talking about Jesus has been resurrected, and my story the last time was we read about the disciples went out fishing, and this is after Jesus had appeared to them after his resurrection, and they went out fishing, and as I said in that parable, it really was never about fish, and they'd been up all night fishing in their own strength and their own know-how. They were wise. They spent their entire lives fishing. They knew the waves. They knew the weather. They knew the lake. They knew their boat, their equipment. They had done it for years. They had timed the moon when the moon's at a certain place and the season's a certain place. They knew where to fish. But that night, they had gone out and fished all night and caught nothing. And they were very tired, and it's very early in the morning. And they were coming in, and they could see this silhouette on the shore, and the silhouette on the shore was Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus, and he had called out to them, "Do you have any food?" In other words, they thought it was a merchant, probably, wanting to buy some of the catch coming in. They said, "No, we've been up all night. We haven't caught a thing." And that's when Jesus told them, "Put your nets in on the right side of the boat." And I took you back to when Jesus' ministry first started. He took his disciples out in the boat. Same thing, they'd been fishing all night. They were tired, and Peter's comment was, "Look, Jesus, we've been fishing all night. To throw the nets in again as we're coming in basically would be worthless." But they did it, and they caught more fish than they knew what to do with. And then the same thing happens now at the end. And the meaning that said to me was, is that if we're going to have church, if we're going to experience God, it requires something other than our own talents. You got to get beyond the music. You got to get beyond the noise. You got to get beyond your problems and quiet yourself long enough to have Jesus come into your life and speak to you. And that's what my message is going to be about today, because we're going to be talking in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit has come upon the disciples. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be guided by the Spirit, because if we don't do that, and if we don't allow God's Spirit into us, then any meeting like this is no different than going to the VFW or the Girl Scouts meeting or anything else. This has to be a special time of connecting with God, and it's not easy. And we're going to talk about why it's not easy and why it's so hard and why so many people have given up on church today. There's a real good reason. No power. No power. Nothing happens. Oh, I go there. It's a discipline. I've met my obligation. I sit in church. But see, we have lost our ability to understand what this book is telling us. This book is telling us that we can't do anything of God without God directing our steps. And that's what all of these stories coming up from the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a great book to read if you're wanting to revitalize a church, to revitalize our spirits and revitalize your life and to start walking with God daily and listening to His words. I studied and prayed long and long and hard, because I do believe that churches across the nation need a new revelation and a new boost of the Holy Spirit. Because we're trying to do everything in our own power. And it'll never work. It'll never work. It has to be of God, from God, through us. We are the instruments. The New Testament, it says that Christ is the head of the church. And the church, meaning not a building, not a denomination. The church, meaning believers, people who want to follow Christ, are the body. The body. And what we've done, in my experience, is the body is trying to tell the head what we're going to do. Our hands and feet. I'm going this way. I hope the head follows me. And that's not the way it works. The head up here is to direct our hands and our mouth and our ears and our feet and tells us what to do. But church today has reversed that for the most part. We say we're going to, look, this is our idea, we're going here. And it won't come easy because of an enemy. And the enemy is Satan. And I know a lot of people say, oh, Kent, don't preach on Satan. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to preach what comes out of this book. And if you read all about Jesus, he did that regularly. He cast out demons. We have a battle going on. These fishermen, Jesus used them over and over in his sermons. You know, when he talks about them going out fishing. These fishermen were to become what? Fishers of men through the power of the Holy Spirit that will live within them and go out and bring people into God's kingdom. And the reason we want to do that is it makes this place a better place to live. But really, we are developing ourselves for the kingdom that's going to come. The thing you have to understand about fishermen is, okay, in the Old Testament, they used nets. Today, a lot of fishermen, Gary will attest to this, is that you go out and you've got a tackle box full of lures and you try to entice the fish, trick the fish into biting the lure so you can bring them in. But I'm going to tell you something about these parables of the fishermen. Jesus was going to make them fishers of men. Satan knew that. You know who else is an excellent fisherman? Satan. And his tackle box is huge. Satan is going to use everything he's got in his tackle box and entice you to leave what he wants you to become and wants you to do. And he knows every one of our weaknesses. Gary just came back from fishing for bass down in Mexico. He caught over a ton of them, true story, over a ton of bass. He's a good fisherman, but so is Satan. See, Satan knows every one of our weaknesses. He knows what to throw in front of us to derail us from becoming all that God wants us to become. He does not want us to receive the power of the Holy Spirit because the power of the Holy Spirit will completely defeat him, and that's when miracles happen, and that's when churches become powerful. That's when people's lives become powerful because they are on a new path, and the path is with Jesus Christ. It's an amazing journey, this Christian journey. I want to tell you some things about the power, if we become a praying church, and the power of the Holy Spirit and how He will lead us. There is the book of Acts, you know, the new church is just beginning. And the Holy Spirit, at this point where I'm going to read, has come upon the disciples. They are empowered now. They are bringing the old covenant was gone away. The Old Testament, gone. There's a new covenant. The law's gone. There's a new way to live. And what happens in this story I'm going to read to you is about Philip. And he's now empowered. The disciples are going out into the land all over. They're spreading out and they're bringing the good news of Jesus Christ. And because they're empowered with the Holy Spirit, many miracles are being done. And hundreds and thousands of people are coming to know Christ. And boy, Satan doesn't like that at all. And in this part of the book of Acts, the chapter 7, is the Apostle Paul is still... It's not the Apostle Paul then, it's Saul, and he is persecuting these new Christians going out and spreading this new religion, the new way to do things. And here's Philip. It says, therefore, those who were scattered because of Saul persecuting him went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord, you'll hear that, those two words a lot in the book of Acts, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. So here's Philip doing his thing. The Holy Spirit's in him. He's preaching. People are coming to know Christ. It's changing their lives. It's changing the direction of the way they think about religion. But because he's filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to the next part. Listen to what happens to Philip. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go away from here to the south along the road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza into the desert." So he arose and went. And behold, a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, who was under the authority of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, who had charge, and this particular man had charge of her entire treasury, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake the chariot." So Philip ran up to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And so Philip sat with him and gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he ends up baptizing this Ethiopian. And the Ethiopian goes on then into Africa, and the gospel begins spreading in Africa. Now, the reason this is significant is you have to imagine. Here's Philip. He set up his church. People are flocking to him in Samaria. He thinks, man, this is going on. I'm doing a good thing here. I'm bringing people to Christ. And yet the angel of the Lord, being tuned into the Holy Spirit says, yeah, I know there's a good thing going on here, but you've got to leave here. And not only that, I'm going to send you out in the desert. There's no towns or anything. Listen to me and head south and get out into the desert. It makes no sense. None. You have to put yourself in a pastor day. It'd be like if Jackie and I would have this church and it would be people waiting to get in here and we got something going on and the Holy Spirit tells us, shut it down, we're going to do something different. How many people would do that today? You wouldn't. It'd be like, well, that's crazy. But when you're tuned in with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will do this in your life, I'm going to share some stories with you in a minute. Your life becomes a whole new path. This is about a journey. This life is a journey, and you have a choice. Do you want to walk the journey with God, which will be the perfect will for your life? Or do you want to do your own thing, and then now and then say hey to God on a Sunday morning? Because that's not what Christianity is about. That's why there's no power. That's why people have said, you know what, I've had it with church. Good reason. Good reason. And I know a lot of people, I think, probably think, Kent, you're always picking on church. You're always picking on the church. Well, yes and no. But I want to read something. I was studying this week. Let me read something to you and that you think I'm picking on church. You're familiar with Samuel Chadwick. A great Methodist preacher at the turn of the century, around 1900. Samuel Chadwick was a Methodist preacher. And here are his words. And he started a huge revival over in Europe around, 1915. He said, Christianity is hopeless without the Holy Spirit. Hopeless. In other words, there's no point. There's no point in meeting. If we are not going to become Holy Spirit-filled Christians following the Word of Jesus Christ, that makes all the difference. It changes things. It empowers us. So there's a path, and we know about this path. Am I going to become a Christian and commit my life to Christianity and all that this book says? Or am I going to be a menu-driven Christian and say, you know, I like a couple things in here, and for the most part, I'm going to do my own thing and keep praying to God to bless my own thing. That is why we don't have power in the churches today, and that is why we miss out in life. This past week, or the last time I was here, or I don't know, maybe this past week, Mark Reeder called me and said, hey, Kylie would like to borrow. This was the book I read about Nicky Cruz, the gangster who received Jesus Christ, changed his whole life. Now he went into inner city gangs. And because he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, this is around the 60s and 70s and early 80s. He had the power of the Holy Spirit and was going into inner cities all over the world, here in America in particular, and was changing gangs into believing in Christ. And many of them became ministers and pastors and started going to church. They got off drugs. They got out of prostitution, the gals, and all these terrible things that the gangs were involved in because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I read you that story about when Nikki was young. And so today, I brought this book simply to give to Kylie because she wants to read through it. But I opened it today. I was just thumbing through it before I came to church. This is what popped out at me. It says, there's nothing as exhilarating as walking each day with the Holy Spirit, moving and breathing in the power of God, listening for the voice that comes to your spirit, and then obeying whatever He would have you do. Like Philip, going wherever He tells you to go. Saying what He tells you to say, ministering to whomever He puts in your path, drinking from the well of His wisdom as He imparts it in your heart and mind. I love living in the wake of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing I'd rather be doing than following Him into battle. And I try never to question His ways, never doubt His insight, and never hesitate to let Him lead. So many people try to educate the Holy Spirit on what He should do. I've heard preachers talk about how the Holy Spirit works, what the Holy Spirit thinks, what He does and doesn't want us to do. And I wonder if they've ever stopped to ask the Holy Spirit's permission to talk for Him. The Holy Spirit's greatest enemy is our day planner. He's not interested in working His way into our schedule. He wants to become our schedule, to guide us through the day, not just help plan for it. Instead of spending your life praying for blessings, pray that God will use you to bless others. Instead of striving to be comfortable and wealthy and well-fed, pray that God will use you to help find comfort and shelter and food for others. Instead of looking for miracles, let God turn your life into a living, breathing miracle of His will. It's not an easy path. You know why? Because we've been brainwashed. We've been brainwashed to thinking that this is church. This is how we do it. We are up to here with traditionalism, symbolism. All that's okay if the Holy Spirit is filling the place and changing lives. And when it's not, because I'm a leader of the church, it's because I'm not leading correctly. I need to be on my hands and knees more. I need to make sure that the words that I speak are strictly from the Holy Spirit, because without that, this is just a meaningless gathering according to Samuel Chadwick and many, many others. Let's have the choir and band start coming up, because I'm going to end with a story here. I love the Brooklyn Tabernacle. I've said that many times. And I'm going to tell you that the Holy Spirit definitely moves there. But I follow that church. I know the Holy Spirit works in other places. But there's something special going on there. And I want to share a story that Jim Cimbala shared about the power of the Holy Spirit and what can happen. And the reason I bring that up, because it follows this story of Philip. Philip, you know, thinking, man, I've got it going on here. And the Holy Spirit interrupts everything he's doing, says, I'm going over here. And because he followed the Holy Spirit, the gospel was brought to Africa. Well, Jim Cimbala was, you know, a normal day like this at church. The choir was singing. And they have a format. You go there, you listen to songs similar to what we do here. And he gets up and preaches. He said, but during the first song, he says, he was in worship, and all of a sudden, his spirit, it said, Jim, you got to go up and get that microphone. I know there's like three more songs, but no, you got to stop right now and preach the gospel. And this isn't even really what Jim was going to speak on today. And it kept bothering him. He thought, man, if I walk out there now, his wife, Carol, directs the choir, he says, she's going to think I'm nuts. I'm going to stop this. And it just wouldn't let him go. The Holy Spirit just kept pulling, you got to get up and you got to get up and speak the gospel now. So right after the first song, before the next one started, he put a halt. He says, I need the microphone. He said, I'm just going to tell people what's happening here. God has laid it on my heart that I'm supposed to speak the gospel right now. We're going to stop the music and I'm just going to. And so he laid his heart out and he preached the gospel. And afterwards, he had an altar call. And he asked for anybody there that was suffering and needed help and needed Jesus to come into their life and needed the power of the Holy Spirit for a new path. Anyone wanting a new path, a new way to live. And people flocked up. And they came and he did this altar call and they finished out that service and he went home and he said he was very tired. And that next week he received a letter in the mail. And it was from somebody from California. A family that was going through hell with their teenage son. The son had gotten on drugs. The son had turned his way into, thought up was down and black was white. Everything was messed up. The kid, they couldn't do anything with him. And they knew that it was going to end in a disaster if they couldn't do something. And this family happened to be followers of Jim Cimbala. So they got their son. They said, hey, let's take a family trip to New York. That's how they got their son there, because really the son wanted nothing to do with the family anymore. He was in a dark spot. Satan had gotten a hold of him. Satan has this tackle box. He'll find what will deceive you and lead you down a path. And the path will never be good. The only path that works is the path of Jesus Christ in your life. I know that. I've lived it. And so this family takes their son and they fly to New York and they go see the sights and they go to Times Square. But the day they're supposed to fly out, they said, we're going to take our son to the Brooklyn Tabernacle. They really weren't even going to tell him it was a church. And they get in there. And the service started and the husband got his plane tickets out and he looked at the plane tickets. And he had screwed up. The plane was going to leave like 2 hours earlier than what he thought. And the whole reason he came to New York was so his son could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they were going to have to get up and leave. They only had about 10 more minutes. And they were going to miss everything. You see where this is going. Jim had the Spirit. This happens. People are filled with Spirit. This is normal walking. So anyway, there's this family, and they're looking at the little program there, and they see, well, we're going to hear some great music, but we'll never hear the Word of God. But Jim stopped the choir and got up and preached. He didn't know why. He had no clue why. Had no clue, but he followed the prompting. He got out of the routine. He didn't do what we always did. He listened to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and he preached. And that couple said that day, our son was one of the first ones down the front of that church. And he received Christ that day and it changed his life. That is following the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We come here, this praise band and this, we come here sometimes and we've had bad weeks. And we're frustrated and the harmonies aren't going right. And it's frustrating. And it's so easy to get caught up. God, why are we even doing this? Why? And we come here and sometimes you say, oh, is this worth it? What's the point? Here's all I'm going to tell you. I don't know why God and the Holy Spirit brought Praise Community Fellowship in with United Methodist. I don't know. But I know this. If we open our hearts to what God wants us to do, something beautiful, mighty, and crazy good is going to happen here. But it's probably going to be a different path than what we're on right now. I don't know. I'm not predicting anything. A long time ago, I know the board used to ask me. They don't ask me anymore. We've come to a real good agreement. They used to ask me, Kent, we need a 5-year plan. I said, I don't have a 5-minute plan for this church, which is true. I'm counting on God. I'm counting on the Holy Spirit to come in here and guide us. I told my Bonnie and the band the other night, we stayed here till 11:30 last practice. We just talked and we said, what does God want us to do? What are we doing? What is this doing anything? And I said, you know, here's what I can tell you. If God wakes me up tomorrow and says, Kent, don't preach anymore. I want you to mow the grass. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop preaching and then become the lawn care guy. I don't care. All I know is that I am walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and doing what God wants me to do. That is the ultimate path for my life. But we're distracted. All of us are. We're distracted people. I'm going to finish with Nikki Cruz's words. The Holy Spirit's greatest enemy is our day planner. He's not interested in working his way into your schedule or my schedule. He wants to become our schedule. And that's real. God is real. The Holy Spirit is real. I'm just telling you, we don't give him room in our life for him to come in and change things. A lot of brokenness, a lot of problems. We all have them. But we got to stop fighting it and know that there's another fisherman out there other than God that's trying to deceive us and lead us down a path where we think, oh, that is going to be it. If God hasn't given you the path, I guarantee you, you're going to go into a dead end. Dead end. So I ask you to pray for Jackie and I in this church and this gathering. I don't know. I don't have a plan. But I do know this. My plan is, God, you open my heart, whatever you say. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I want that for all of you because that's where God's power is. Amen. Let's come up and let's, you know, this last song, Ken, put the last song words up. Here's what I want everyone to do today. We come here and we sing and it can become a rote thing. But I want you to worship with your words. Open your heart. Listen if you don't want to sing, but this is a time for us to connect with God and the Holy Spirit. Your life will never be the same if you can take that path. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit that lives within us. But let us let go so we can listen and obey. Let us become part of your plan. Help us to walk your path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.